We've been looking at Joseph of Arimathea. We've been looking at his character, his good traits, and then we also seen his bad traits and the fact that he was hiding the fact that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now we see that Joseph, he's purchased the tomb near the city of Jerusalem that he had planned to be buried in one day. Tombs that were carved out of the rocks were very expensive. Only the very rich could afford one. That tomb would be the earthly monument to his wealth, to his power, to his accomplishments during his life. That tomb was designed to declare his glory, or so he thought, even as many of us thought that our accomplishments and our power and our wealth were for our glory. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes into our lives and the focus of glory changes. When Joseph of Arimathea saw Jesus dying on the cross, his priorities changed once he seen Christ crucified. What the life of Jesus, what the life had Jesus had not been able to do, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross did. As Joseph watched Jesus die that day, he trusted. He trusted. He made a decision that he would not be silent that day. He would hide his faith no longer. The life of Christ didn't change him, but the death of Christ did. When Jesus was dead, Joseph went boldly to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus Christ. After determining that Jesus was indeed dead, Pilate gave the body to Joseph and he allowed him to take it away for burial. By the way, the attitude of these two men towards the dead body of the Lord is worth noting. Look at Joseph as he asked for and tenderly cares for the Lord's body. To him, it was a precious thing that deserved to be treated with the ultimate compassion and care. To Pilate, the body of Jesus Christ was merely a corpse, a piece of rubbish to be disposed of. And is that not the way it is today? Those who embrace Christ with compassion and with care and with love, and those who just look at him as merely a man who lived, a good man, they would even say. But as far as they're concerned, they can easily be disposed of. Christ could easily be disposed of. Look at Mark 15, verses 43 through 46. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled the stone against the door of the tomb. When Jesus died, his mother, the women around the tomb, they were in no position to deal with his body. John was there, but he was probably in disguise. He also feared the Jews and the Romans. The Lord's half-brothers were probably not even there to witness his death. Joseph knew that if someone didn't do something, the body of Jesus Christ would be taken down from the cross and thrown away like it was a piece of trash. That's the way they dealt with bodies of criminals. Just tossed them in the garbage heap. The Jews had already made a deal with Pilate that the bodies would be taken down from the cross. We find that in John 19, verses 31 through 34, where we read, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The next day after the crucifixion, it was the Passover, and the Jews wanted the bodies taken down and disposed of before that holy day dawned. Kill the Messiah and celebrate yourself a festival. That is religion in all of its glory. That is why Pilate ordered his soldiers to break the legs of the crucified men. With their legs broken, the condemned man could no longer push themselves up in order to exhale. Without that ability, they die within minutes. So the soldiers take a wooden mallet, break the legs of the dying man with brutal blows. When they came to Jesus, however, he was already dead. And to confirm this, they thrust a spear into his side, and water and blood came out. This signaled the fact that death had already taken place." Our text notice says that Joseph went in boldly to ask for the body of Jesus Christ. He went in boldly, or as it says in some texts, coming and taking courage. Now we see a man that has been changed. He comes in boldly. He wakes up the courage. He now has courage. Coming and taking courage. Now he comes in boldly. Remember, this is the same man that had been afraid to openly take a stand as a disciple of Christ. Now, having seen Christ die on the cross, now he is emboldened. He walks into Pilate's presence and he asks for the body. Pilate's amazed that Jesus is already dead. He sent for the centurion, who confirms the fact that Christ is dead. Pilate releases the body to Joseph, and he, along with Nicodemus now, you remember Nicodemus, another Secret Service Christian, began the burial preparation. In John 19:38-42, we read, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews," see? He was afraid. He was scared. He was a coward. He was following Christ secretly. But now he comes in boldly. Now he's emboldened. He asks Pilate that he might take away the body of Christ. And Pilate gives him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Christ and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus. Because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. But notice the emphasis of the Apostle John about Joseph of Arimathea, who followed secretly, and about Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night. The Holy Spirit is making the point. Here's two men. They followed Christ at a distance. One followed secretly, and the other followed at night when no one would see him. So basically, he was secret also. The text is showing what the Holy Spirit can do with a man or a woman, boys and girls that are converted, that are changed, how the Lord can change you from being afraid, being secret about being a disciple. And he can have you boldly go in to Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus Christ. Basically, they took a stand against the world. And it would also seem that Nicodemus was influenced by the courage he saw in Joseph. They may have been there that day as part of the delegation sent by the Sanhedrin to observe the death of Christ. These men came to Calvary representing a dead religion, and they left representing a living Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord, how he can change our lives. You who once were afraid, now he could turn you into a man or a woman bold for Christ. The language of verse 46 in Mark 15 is the language of tenderness. He brought fine linen, took them down, and wrapped them in the linen. Tenderness. Joseph and Nicodemus treated the body of the Lord with tender care, preparing it the best way they could for burial. They treated the body of Christ, with tender care. What is the body of Christ today but the church? What a beautiful example of how we should treat those in the church with tender care. How we should treat our relationship with Christ, our intimacy with Christ, with tender care, doing whatever we can day by day in our preparation to live our lives. These disciples would have washed his body, wrapped it in strips of fine linen. Between the layers of linen, the various spices and perfumes would have been applied to the body. All of this would have been done in haste, as the shadows lengthened, signaling the coming of nightfall. When Christ died on the cross, Joseph was no longer concerned with his own glory. That's what it comes down to. Is this life of yours going to be about your glory or the glory of Jesus Christ? For now, Joseph, he's emboldened to step up and openly declare his faith in Jesus Christ. He declares his faith by openly asking for the body. Then he and Nicodemus go take the body of the Lord down from the cross. They carry it through the streets of the city, not caring who sees them. They prepare the body and they place the body in the tomb, rolling the stone to seal the tomb. The secret disciple, the one that had come by night. It took great courage for Joseph to go before Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. Let me just mention a few of the issues that he would have faced. As a member of the Sanhedrin, Joseph might have been expelled by Pilate, who was probably still angry from his earlier run-in with them. By identifying himself with a man who had been executed for treason, Joseph might have been implicated as a traitor to Rome. But Joseph identified himself with Jesus, he would have been promptly expelled from the Sanhedrin. The common Jew would have turned on him too. They would have not understood this man identifying himself with a man who had been condemned by the other leaders as a blasphemer, a traitor, and a false Messiah. Joseph would have lost money and power and prestige and popularity. And by touching a dead body, Joseph defiled himself and would not have been permitted to participate in the Passover meal. Joseph paid a high price for standing up for Jesus Christ. And what I want us to understand today is it still costs something to be a true disciple of Christ. The Lord put it this way in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Come, deny, take up, Follow me. Follow me. Did you not see the possibilities in your own life when I read about Joseph? Loss of power, prestige, popularity, money. People will look at you as a blasphemer, a traitor, one that follows a false messiah. You may be expelled from your job, expelled from your family. But that's what the Lord has called us to. Don't fall for the lie, this is your best life now. In reality, if you're a disciple of Christ, this is your worst life now. You live this life here in a sin-cursed world, and then you die and you go to heaven for all eternity and be in the presence of the Lord, sinless. That's your best life. It's not now. This is your worst life. This is pain, heartache, suffering, death, destruction, hell, demons, Satan. This is not time of glory for you. This is time of cross for us. We're to take up our cross. Far too many believers are looking for the heaven on earth, where we're to look up. That's where our redemption is. We're to look up. We're to look up. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through this world. And we get all wrapped up in our glory, our money, our power, our prestige, our popularity, our friends, our family, our cars, our houses, our boats, our, and you just fill in the blank. Whereas Christ says, come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And Joseph and Nicodemus, at one time in their life, that's what they had been doing. Following their own desires, living for their own glory. And once they beheld Christ on the cross, Christ and him crucified, that changed everything for these men. And if you will look at Christ and him crucified, it will change your life also. That's why the Apostle Paul said, all I want to know when I come amongst you is Christ and him crucified. To be a genuine disciple of Christ is to live a life of shame. It is to live a life where you give up your rights and your will. You deny yourself, giving yourself over to the will of the one who died so he could redeem you from your sin. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. But do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. How do you say to our Father, not our will be done, but your will be done? The Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He bought you at a price. You're no longer your own. We're to live a life that is out of step with the world around you. It's to live such a radically different life that the world looks on you with hatred and distrust and misunderstanding. And far too often today, the church is trying to live just like the world and act just like the world and be like the world. But to be the opposite. The men in our text were opposite of the world. Joseph of Arimathea was opposite than the other Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was opposite of the other religious leaders. They were changed. Christ is to change your life. We're to have changed lives. And I'm afraid that most believers don't live that way today. Jesus gave his all for us. We should give him no less in return. Now let me just say this. This is a sad place to end the message. I don't like to end with Jesus Christ in the tomb. I don't like to see a crucifix because he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer dead. Our passage closes with Christ being laid in the tomb. Being laid in the tomb, the stone is rolled against the door, and everyone thinks the story's over and that the dream has ended. Jesus is dead, and their hopes and dreams have died with him. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus walk away and go home. They take the body, they minister to the body, and it goes in to the tomb. John takes Mary, they leave. A couple of women take their place outside the tomb and sit there for a while. Verse 47, depending on your translation, says this: and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. Observed. Depends, some translations say beheld. They couldn't take the eyes off the place. They were watching. After a while, darkness comes, and they too left the tomb where the body of the Lord had been buried. But let me say, we leave the text, it's Friday, but the good news is Sunday is coming. By the time these women return to finish the preparations to the body of Christ for burial, Jesus will have already risen from the dead. This sad scene, these last couple messages about crucifixion, is not the end of the story, brothers and sisters. It's merely the beginning. It's merely the beginning. We will yet rejoice over the resurrection in the coming studies. But before I leave this text today, let me ask you a couple questions on a solemn note, since you can't get a more solemn subject than Christ and him crucified. Seriously, ask yourself these questions. What kind of a disciple are you? Are you vocal and bold in your witness and your testimony? Or do you tend to hold back out of fear for what others will say or think about you? That's a legitimate question, brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm simply asking a question. Has God spoken to you about being more bold than your witness? Have you been saved, but have never told anyone about it? Are you like Joseph of Arimathea in that you're keeping your faith a secret? You need to take a public stand with Jesus Christ today. Stand up and tell the world about your faith in him. That is God's will, that we stand up for him. That's what the scripture says. Go into all the world. Go into all the world preaching the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You say, okay, I'm a disciple. I follow the Lord. Let me ask maybe someone else listening. You've never confessed Jesus Christ. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ. You have never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never seen your need of a Savior. You thought that your good works could save you, your religious observances, or you didn't even care. You just live your life for now. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I would remind you, you can't save yourself. There's only one way of salvation, and that's why Jesus Christ had to become a man and die on a cross, because there's a penalty to pay for sin, and that's the death of the sinner. There's a penalty to be paid. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And today, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, this would be a great day to do it. For the scripture says today is the day of salvation. So wherever you find yourself today, and if you are bold for Christ, let me just remind you, Peter was bold too. And then in a moment of time, he was a coward. And he repented and he came back to the Lord. But I just don't want you to think you who may be bold for the Lord, hey, he ain't talking to me. It's like, I'm talking to myself, first and foremost. You can be bold one day and a coward the next day. But you can be a coward one day and be a lion the next day. So let us, at the when it's all said and done, let us be like Joseph of Arimathea in his boldness, asking for the body. And let us be like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and being tender with the body of Christ, and being compassionate and caring for the body of Christ.